that this fire in us is the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's why it's never going to burn out. It's not because of our effort. It's not because we can create it in our own. It's not because we have worked so hard, but it's because we believe in you. And it's by faith that we come to you, because without faith, we cannot please you. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. Thank you for the work of God through us. Thank you, Lord, that it's you who desires for us to walk in victory. And it's you who causes us to walk in victory. We yield our lives to you, and I pray that you would open our hearts. Open our hearts, O Lord, to receive your word. I pray, O God, this morning as we celebrate, this nation celebrates 250 years of its existence. We pray, O God, for the president and vice president, for the Senate. We pray for the House of Representatives. We pray for even Pennsylvania and all the representatives here, local and federal. God, we bring them before you. And we're asking you, according to your word, that you would cause them to seek you, that you would cause them to turn to you, that you would cause them to cry out to you. God, we pray for a revival. We pray, oh God, for the spirit of truth to fill the schools, to fill our governments. We pray, oh Father, that you would have mercy upon this nation, upon our children, upon the youth of this generation. Oh God Almighty, I pray that the scales and the blindness of the eyes will fall down, and that they will see you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the saving power of Christ, wash over America and around the world. We pray, oh God, for mercy, for grace, and for the love of Christ to touch our communities and our nation. Oh God, I pray that our eyes will never be taken away from you. I pray, oh God, that we will never trust in our own power and our own strength, but we will trust in you. We will trust in you, oh God. I pray that you would forgive us and that you would cover us, cover this land with your grace and mercy. One more time, for your name's sake and for the sake of the people to get saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. You may be seated. Happy 4th of July weekend. We're truly blessed to live in this nation. God has tremendously led, supernaturally blessed not only this nation, but through this nation, nations around the world. I was born in the former Soviet Union, and the gospel came through many missionaries from America. United States of America has impacted the world by bringing the gospel and sharing the good news. And for that, we're so grateful. And this morning, I want to share something that all week, I believe the Lord has been putting on my heart. I've been pondering about this scripture, reading this scripture. And it's a reminder for all of us that our trust, as great as the government can be, it's not in that. Our trust, as great as the people can be, it's not in people. But our trust must be always in the Lord. During this 4th of July weekend, yesterday, it's 12 years since I've been married to my wife. We got married 4th of July. And of course, I'm looking at Preetam. He smiles because he knows what's coming. 4th of July, everybody celebrates their independence when I lost mine. But it's been a wonderful 12 years being married to Haley, the love of my life. And God has surely blessed us, cared for us, provided for us, blessed us with three wonderful children. And it's only the grace and the mercies of God. The title that I entitled this message, it's "In Whom Do You Now Trust?" In whom do you now trust? I remember when I was a little kid, I was born in 1986. And of course, in the 90s, this is when the fall of Soviet Union happened. But I still remember vaguely sitting in the back of the car when my dad would drive to a gas station and he had to stay in line for gas. I was a small kid, probably 3-4 years old, but I remember that. I remember when there was lines of cars parked on a side of the road to wait in line to get filled up. I also remember where there was limitations how much gas you can take. And because we grew up in a big family, 13 children, the government will give a little bit more because you had to either spend more money driving around or feeding 13 children. I remember when we would go and stand in line to get a loaf of bread. I remember that. When we had to plan to stand in line, and because we were a big family, my mom would have a coupon to prove that, and a little bit more bread was given to our family because we were so many. I remember those moments when it was not easy. I remember those moments even in the village when we were ridiculed because we were believers. But let me tell you, in those moments, our parents taught us to turn to the Lord. In those moments, our parents taught us to kneel on our knees and to cry out to the Lord for provision, for grace, for mercy, for breakthrough, for resilience to stand. One of the greatest prayers that my parents used to pray, are praying, and often I'm reminded of those prayers, and is this: God, I pray that one day when we stand before you, that we're not going to be alone, that with all of our children, everyone that you had given us, we will be together. And through all of those times, God has brought us in 2000 to the United States of America. We immigrated here. We had nothing. We immigrated with 2 bags. We were not allowed to take more bags. And if we wanted to, we had to pay for that, and we could not afford. We came here with nothing. And I've shared in the past, during garbage day, when people are so happy that this truck is gonna come and take all of junk away, for us immigrants, garbage day was like finding gold. We would go on the streets and look for a carpet, look for couches, look for things that people would get rid of, but we would bring it home, and we would be filled with joy. Being 13 years old, and as I mentioned, having so many siblings around, you have to figure out a way to survive, especially coming to a new country, not knowing the language, not knowing any friends or having any friends, only knowing a few family members. At 13 years old, we sign up as children to go on a farm, $5 an hour. If you think yesterday was hot, sometimes was hot at all times in the summer, working on the fields, picking up crops, $5 an hour, and we were so happy. And that money was not for me, but we were bringing it home, and all of us would rejoice. All of us would be happy that we had a chance to go to the store to buy some things, to buy food and feed our big family. For me, celebrating this time and this journey, these days that America is celebrating 250 years old, it's more than just a celebration of United States of America. It's a celebration of freedom, a celebration of opportunity. It's a celebration where we had a chance of a new opportunity, and God has been faithful. God has been faithful. He brought us through so many challenges. He has blessed us with everything that we need. He has furnished our home. We have a car. We have things that we can travel. We have things, the means to feed our family. It's the blessings of the Lord. But it's all of this given to us because God has decided in His sovereign will to stretch His hand upon this nation, that through this nation, not only we would be blessed, but many around the world. We're not a perfect nation. We're far from perfect. And I'm not talking here about politics, but I'm talking to you and to me this morning to cherish the freedom that we have to worship God freely. That we do not have to. That we do not have to put pillows and blankets on the windows and the doors like my parents used to do in the former Soviet Union and worship quietly because the KGB might be coming and taking you to jail. We must celebrate the opportunities we have to lift our hands to the Lord and to sing praises to Him, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And these are the opportunities that are given to us, and let us not take it for granted. And that's what we celebrate. Not so much governments, but we celebrate the grace and the mercy of God upon this nation. But from time to time, we would face difficulties and tests in our life. Do you think the enemy likes that? I pray that God will extend His grace and mercy that our children will grow up in a nation that we have tasted and seen. The things that I've shared growing up, seeing, standing in lines for gas, for taking a loaf of bread and doing all of those things, they are knocking at the door of the United States of America. But sometimes God will allow things to happen to awaken His church, to awaken His people. For what? To remind us that our hope is not in a government, but our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. As good of all the things are out there, the moment we shift our trust in the Lord, we are in trouble. And I believe we are tasting some of the things that we see in this nation. It's because of the decision we have made around the journey or along the journey. We got very comfortable. Instead of pushing through and fighting in prayer, believing for revival, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we got very comfortable in our own journey. Don't talk to me. It's my own home. It's my own business. I want to prosper. And all of those things are good. They're not wrong. But is it possible that in this journey, God is sending some waves to waken us up so we can cry out to Him one more time to say, God, our hope is in You and You alone. We celebrate 250 years of Your faithfulness, but I just don't want to celebrate the past, but I want to look forward in the future to what You're going to continue to do. I'm not going to get caught up just in the past what You have done, but I'm looking with anticipation what You are willing to do through us as a church in this generation. We are called to impact this generation. We are called to impact our neighbors, our schools, and our governments. As believers, first and foremost, through prayer. First and foremost, with a passion for the Lord. And it starts from our homes. It starts from our communities. It starts from our churches. To say, God, I desire to live according to Your word. When the society says, that's normal, and Your word says it's a sin, I'm gonna stand upon Your word. When the society is embracing divorce for every reason, God, I'm asking You, give me the boldness to stand upon Your word because You hate divorce. And I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to fight for my family, for my children, and for my community. And when the society says it's okay to live in fornication, oh God, I pray that You would baptize me again with the power of the Holy Spirit. That You would bring conviction in my life to live according to Your word. And that's what we are to celebrate. That's what we are to celebrate, not only today, but in the future, that God is able to do those things. As we sang, the fire of God in our lives. It's not our fire. We cannot produce on our own, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's agreeing with the word of God to say we will face challenges, but God, You will carry us through. Hallelujah. We have seen
when governments and politicians turned away from the Lord, and they are starting to judge and lead the nations in their own mind and in their own strength, usually leads to destruction. But those who put their faith and trust in the Lord, they shall prosper. Hallelujah. Even when we go through challenges, even when we go through difficulties, they shall prosper. And I'm reminded of story after story from the Word of God. When the nation of Israel, you almost seems like you're reading a story. God does miraculous things. And next thing you know, they're living in compromise. They're serving foreign gods. And God comes and reminds them one more time, I love you. I have a plan for you. But I'm not gonna walk with you while you're walking in rebellion against me. And he's reminding them that every time they will turn to him, he will help them. And he will be there to deliver them. In whom do you trust now? It was a season in our life when we can vividly say that we have trusted the Lord and God came through. We have asked the Lord for a breakthrough and God came through. But what about now? What about today, this morning, the circumstances we face in life? Who do we trust? And the nation of Israel, in particular, Judah, they were looking for help to Egypt. They were going through a hard moment in their life. They were feeling pressured from all the sides. And this is the story of the Assyrians' threat to Judah. Assyria, the great empire that had destroyed the northern kingdom and scattered their people less than a generation earlier, returned to the region and threatened to do the same to Judah. It's amazing how things can change just in a generation. But God used the prophet Isaiah to speak to the nation of Judah and to the people, responding with trust in God despite the overwhelming threat of being outmatched on the battlefield. But those who trust in the Lord, hallelujah. God miraculously delivered the nation of Judah. Once again, giving a testimony to everyone that God is above everyone. God is above Assyria. God is above governments. God is above all the power and the authority and principalities because he has the last word. Hallelujah. And God is reminding to the prophet Isaiah and Nehemiah and others that I am able and I am who I say that I am. But in the story particularly that is written in 2 Kings chapter 18, I'm not going to read that a lot, but I'm just going to share within my own words, and I would like to encourage you to read this at home. But it came a moment where Assyria came back a generation later, and they began to entice the people of Israel, the tribe of Judah. And they began to talk with them, to entice them into doing wrong and desiring to take over them. And during that time, the nation of Israel, they knew who God is. They knew that he is their deliverer, their savior. And in that moment, the Bible says that they turned to Egypt for help. For a season, they're going to Egypt because Egypt was also under a threat of Assyria taking over. And they're going to their enemy, so to speak, and trying to take advice and seek for some help. And the enemy knows that. When the officials of Assyria came and they began to talk with the officials of Judah, they even said, and they called the nation of Israel out, they said, you're going to Egypt to seek for help. But they're not going to help you because they are weak. Talk about a rebuke from the enemy. Talk about laughing in a moment to say that you're seeking help from the very people that God has delivered you from. And of course, he says, what confidence is in this which you trust? You speak of having plans and power of war, but there are more words. In different words, your words are empty. You're filled with words, but there is no power behind it. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? The enemy says, now look, You are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if I am a man leans, I will go into his hand and pierce it. So it's Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. My brothers, my sisters, as believers, when we face difficulties as a nation, when we face difficulties, who do we turn to? In the moments of distress, who do we run to? And of course, we live in a flesh, and sometimes we run to the things that are tangible. We run to the things that we think in a moment can give us an answer. And that's what the nation of Israel did. That's what the tribe of Judah did. But even the enemy is calling them out and says, if you're gonna put your trust and you're gonna seek help from Egypt, you're gonna make a fool of yourself. And later on, of course, he's mocking God. Later on, they're even talking and laughing of what God can even do for them. And if we can read 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 26. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, Shebna, and Joah said to Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. In different words, they began to come and speak to the people. And the leaders of Judah were saying, speak to us in Aramaic. Don't involve the people in this mess. Let us deal with you leaders to leaders. And do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall, because the people were trying to do a work on the wall. Verse 27. But the reception said to them, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the man who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? They're making fun of people. This is the plan of the enemy. Not only to attack leaders, but to attack our neighbors, but to attack our neighborhoods, but to attack families. And the enemy is reminding, I'm not gonna even attack leaders, but I'm gonna come and attack everyone that listens to us. Verse 28. Then Rav Shebna stood and called out with a loud voice. What does remind you these two words, loud voice? The Bible says that the enemy roars with a loud voice, like a lion devouring, desiring to devour anyone. And over here it says the enemy began to speak with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city should not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me, but present and come out to me, and every one of you will eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one will drink the waters of his own cisterns until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain, a new wine, and a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. Do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuades you, say, the Lord will deliver us. My brothers, my sisters, there is voices in this world. There is voices in this world that are roaring loudly, brainwashing this generation to entice them and encourage them not to listen to authority. There is voices in this world right now that are saying you have to rebel against every voice of reason. Even in Christian world, there's voices that are trying to come to captivate the minds and the hearts of our youth, to rebel even against leaders that are preaching the word of God because it's not the way they want to hear it. And it's a question, trying to persuade them, will the Lord deliver you when you're in trouble, when you're going through things, when you cry out to the Lord, will he really deliver you? Oh, but the enemy always entices people and says, but come to me and I will give you everything. And this lie began from the whole beginning when it says that God really say that you cannot eat from this tree. But the moment you eat, you will become wise like God. You will know, your eyes will be open. You will know everything. The same voice is speaking today in this generation and in this society, undermining the truth of the Lord and questioning if we can really trust God for deliverance. If really can we trust the Lord for a breakthrough. But let me tell you what the response was in verse 36. But the people held their peace. Hallelujah. Hearing all of these voices, my brothers, my sisters, when we hear all of these voices, we have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And we as believers are to hold our peace in God and to say, God, you are able. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. I love that. So often we get so busy talking with the devil. How about we get busy to talk with the Lord? We hold our peace. We are quiet, not even answering the enemy. And we say, God, you have the last word. I'm gonna hold my breath and my energy and my words for you because you are the only true God that can hear me and answer me. Hallelujah. I'm not gonna be filled with fear. I'm not gonna be filled with anxiety in the name of Jesus. I'm not gonna be filled with all the things that the enemy is trying to bring against me, to entice me, to bring me down from that wall that I'm building. Even if he can speak Hebrew, I am still not gonna do it. But I'm gonna trust you. Even if you're gonna come as an angel of light, I'm still gonna trust the word of God. And to say, God, have your way. As the worship team comes. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandments was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Jah, the son of Esau, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the enemy. But I want to finish with this. There is so much into these chapters, but I want to finish with these words. Verse 19, chapter 19, verse 1. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, when we hear what the enemy is doing in this nation, in our communities, in our families, when we hear the things that he's trying to do in our marriage, what do we do? What do we do in those moments when we hear the statistics and the things that are not normal? What do we do? This morning I want to do what the king Hezekiah did. He tore his clothes. In different words, it was a sign of humility saying, woe, it's me. I can't do this on my own. It was a last resort to say, God, if you're not going to come through, I don't know what I'll do. And he goes into the house of the Lord. And you are in the house of God. Of course, we know that this is a building, is a symbol filled with blocks, fuses, and carpets, and different things. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives inside of us. We have access to him at any moment, at any time. If the enemy is attacking your mind at work, you can call upon the name of God. As I said, even if he speaks Hebrew. In different words, even if he speaks Christian languages, but it's not truth. You rebuke it in the name of Jesus. When you're driving, when you're getting in an argument, when you're frustrated, when you're upset, My children often, when they get in a little bit of a scuffle, they will say, I'm mad. And I say, don't say that you're mad. Say that you're upset. Even when we're upset or mad, we can call upon the name of God. And we can also come to a gathering like this in the house of God on Sunday or on Wednesday. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O God, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubims, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heavens and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of the enemy which he has sent to reproach the living God. I love that. Hezekiah, he's not making this just about him or the nation of Israel. But in different words, he said, but because we belong to you, the reproach goes to you. This is the position of a believer. Because we belong to God, because me and you are born again believers, because the Holy Spirit dwells within inside of us, when the enemy is coming against us, we can say, God, everything that the enemy is trying to bring, the reproach that he's trying to bring against you, deliver me, protect me, fight for me. I'm calling to you. No longer I'm turning to Egypt. No longer I'm turning to governments. No longer I'm turning to society. No longer I'm turning to people that can help me physically. I'm turning to you. Because if you're not gonna help me, none of this will work. We will just be busy fighting, but in the end we always will lose. And during this weekend, as we celebrate 250 years of this nation, a nation under God, a nation that desire to serve the Lord, we also live in a nation that the enemy is also working, that he desires and his plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. And we are aware of that. And this morning I'm calling to believers and I'm calling to those online and to you. Put your trust and faith in Jesus. As great as this nation is, we are not to turn to this nation for answers, but we are to turn to Jesus Christ as Hezekiah did. Enough of going to Egypt for answers. Enough of going to Egypt to ask for protection. Enough of going to Egypt to ask for provision. We can come to Jesus Christ and ask for protection, for provision, for safety, for renewed mind, for renewed strength, for the love of Jesus Christ to fill our homes. None of the things in this world will do what God can do. And through this, we can cry to God and say, God Almighty, turn this nation again to you. Turn this nation back to you. Renew the governments, renew their minds. And put believers in positions and protect them that they will not get corrupted. And like Hezekiah, every bad news that you're receiving, bring it to the Lord in the house of God and say, oh God, I can't do it. I can't do it, but you have to show up. You have to come. And God gave them the victory. Hallelujah. God gave them the victory. Why? Because there was Hezekiah, a man of God. A righteous king that was dealing, that began to remove the false gods and the altars. There was Isaiah who sought the Lord, who allowed God to touch his lips, and he began to prophesy and speak truth. And there was a nation that embraced the truth. And this morning I'm asking you to embrace the truth of the Word of God and to say, as good as everything is, our home is not on this earth, but it's in heaven. And I'm gonna build it. With that intention, with that vision. I'm gonna live my life with that perception.
because it's not just a perception, but it's the truth of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of another story of Elijah. That during the same season, whenever when Ahab and the destruction that was happening because of false gods, people were turning away to tangible things to find security. But God says, in my mercy, I'm gonna stop the rain for 3 years. You see, sometimes we think storms or lack of rain or lack of things, God is being mean. No, God is being loving. He's being merciful to say, turn to me. And again, one of the things, the nation of Israel, they were divided. And Elijah comes and says, rebuild the altars. And there was a symbol of rebuilding the 12 tribes of Israel because they were in division. And these are the words that Elijah said that every time I'm thinking about those words, I pray, God, I pray that my life will be like that. The key to be blessed, the key to walk with the Lord, the key is this. This is the words of Elijah. God, I did everything according to your word. Now there is something that I cannot do anymore. It's bring the fire of God on this altar. Now you're obligated to your word. You are true to your word. You cannot lie. Because I live my life according to your word, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me to give you the power and the authority to live like that. Now it's promised by you that you will bless, that you will lead me, that you will guide me. And now I did everything according to your word, but I can't fake this one as much as I wanted to. I can't do this one. It either has to be you or not. You send the fire. And the Bible says, the fire came down and ate up everything that was on that altar. Oh God, I pray that my life would be like that, that I can say, God, in accordance to your word and by the help of the Holy Spirit, I live according to your word. But now you send the fire that can never burn out. Oh God, we pray for this nation in the name of Jesus, that we will not turn to human strength and powers, connections and abilities, but we will pride ourselves in saying, I'm living my life according to your word, and you send your fire. Baptize our communities. Save the young people. Save the old people. Save the children. God, as a church, we live according to your word, and we're asking you this morning that you will send the fire of the Holy Spirit to come, not to consume us, but to consume the sin from our lives. That we will be purified and made like gold. It's possible through the power of the cross and through Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would baptize this nation in your word one more time. A love for prayer, a love for your word, even in my life. So we can say in moments of famine, I did everything according to your word. You send the fire and you send the rain. God is able. God is able. I don't want to just cruise through this Christian life. But as our general overseer, Pastor Carl, always reminds me, I want everything that God has for us. For my family, for my marriage, I want everything. And there is abundance in Jesus Christ. There is abundance. You don't have to survive. You don't have to be like on a life support. There is joy in this walk with the Lord. It's a wonderful walk. It's a beautiful walk. It's filled with joy. It's filled with the presence of God. It's filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And it's filled with victories. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you find yourself in. Turn to Jesus Christ. Like Hezekiah, he came to the Lord and says, God, I'm a failure. I can't do this. I'm not turning to Egypt anymore. I'm turning to you. Grant me the victory. And God can grant you the victory. Enough is enough for you to serve God like a handicapped person. But God has called you to serve Him with power, with might, and in victory. Oh, God, help us. Oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that you had given us as we celebrate this weekend, 250 years of this nation that is far from perfect. God, we thank you that we have the liberty to gather together and worship. This is one of the pillars of freedom. But Lord, I pray that you would cause us to live for you. I pray, oh God, that we will turn to you, that we will not try to make peace with the enemy, that we will not try to talk with the enemy, to reason with the enemy and the voices that are out there. God, but we will turn to you. People will fail us. Governments will fail us. Institutions will fail us, but you will never fail. And we turn to you, the source of life. We turn to you, the source of love, the source of stability. We turn to you, oh God, and we're asking you, Father, that you will cause us to look to you, because our help comes from you. God, as good as everything else is, help us not to put our trust into the materialistic things, but to put our trust in you. God, I pray for people that are bound with sin. Like Hezekiah, he came and put this letter of accusations before you in the temple, and you heard his prayer. And as we're about to do the same thing, God, I pray that you would deliver people from the voices and the snares of the enemy, the lies of the devil. Because whom you set free, he is free indeed. You had given us everything to live a godly life. God, I pray that you would deliver us from ourselves and from the trap that sometimes we find ourselves in, thinking that we can be godly in our own. We yield to you and to the power of the Holy Spirit. Revive us. Revive us one more time, oh God. We pray, oh Lord, for this nation. Let the grace and the mercy of God continue to be upon this nation. And as a result, I pray that you would bring millions and billions of people to the knowledge and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, sometimes when I walk the streets, when I travel, in the airports, cities, my heart is filled with pain. But looking around and realizing, is it possible that most of these people around me do not know you and they're on a way to hell? And my heart is just filled with pain. But how much more your heart is filled with pain when people reject you? Lord, and I pray this morning that you would save people, that you would use our lives to be the messenger and to be the voice in this generation. Lord, I pray that we will not reason with the enemy. As we build the walls, the enemy will come, even speak Hebrew to us, trying to pretend like he's an angel of light, just to get us to stop the work that you've called us to do. But I love that the people kept their peace. Oh God, I pray that we will keep your peace and that we will trust you and your words. I pray that you would cause us to live for you and for your glory all the days of our life, because we are here temporary, but we're looking forward to the eternity with you. And I'm joining my parents in their prayer of saying, help me that everyone that you have entrusted into our hands, when we stand before you that day, that none will be lost, that the enemy will not entice with the lies to turn them away from you, that all of us will say, only by grace we are here, and hear these words, come into my kingdom, good and faithful servant. Help us, oh God, help us. Give us eternal mindset. help us to ponder upon you and to walk with you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? If you would like to respond to this word, like Hezekiah, if you've been attacked with the voices of the enemy, the thoughts that are not of God, that are not truthful, do what Hezekiah did. When you receive messages like that, instead of just reading them to yourself, bring them before the Lord and set them before the Lord. And you say, God, you see everything. And I'm calling upon the name that is above every name, there's power and authority to change circumstances and grant us victory and make us whole. And if this is you, whatever what it is, even for the nation, if you want to represent the nation, to come and say, God, we have sinned. We have drifted so far away from you. Oh God, I'm coming before you. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. That's what we call to do. That's what Hezekiah was doing on behalf of the people. So it's either for you, for your family, or on behalf of this nation. You answer and pray specific prayers. Don't be general. Pray specific prayers that God is putting on your heart. And let's believe for a breakthrough. Amen? During the song, please respond. We'll be back in a moment to pray.